$100 million. This is the news, according to me. Oh, yeah. It is Tuesday. It's still in the morning. And I have a cup that I'll tell you about. Because I know you're longing to hear about that. It's Tuesday, February 8th. February. 10:46 a.m. I'm finally getting around to this. I had a lot of stuff to do this morning. Just a lot of stuff. You know, just a whole lot of stuff. You know, it's just as usual. More and more stuff to do. I appreciate you being here listening and letting me share with you my opinions on a few things that are happening around the world. The news just keeps getting better and better all the time. Just it's like a fine wine. It's whining all the time. It's like there's always whining going on for some reason. Let's get this out of the way. I've got in my cup here. I've got again. I think this is the same thing I had yesterday. I've got a little thermo, like it's like a insulated cup here, but I have some sweet tea, homemade sweet tea with my little bit of that V8 splash in there because it's the cheap stuff. I have they do make this V8 peach mango energy drink. It comes in little cans now. I haven't looked at the price. It's probably, you know, I'm sure it's more expensive because it's in individual cans. It comes in like a 8-pack or whatever it comes in. And I don't know what you're getting for the money, but it's probably still less expensive than the V8 Fusion is, which I don't know what's going on with that. But I'm not going to talk about that much today, at least not right now. At least not for 20 minutes like I did yesterday. I think I talked about it for about half the show yesterday. So Rumble, I guess, Rumble, apparently is making way too much money. Which is concerning me. I would like to send them a message. I wish there was a way I could send them a message. Maybe somebody who knows somebody could pass this on to somebody at Rumble. Maybe I'll have to do a live broadcast and just talk about Rumble. I'm a little frustrated with Rumble, personally. I mean, you can, for free, you can go on YouTube, start a channel, and do live broadcasting. Rumble charges you for that. They charge you $25. Now, I realize they're a smaller platform. They don't have as much advertising going on. There's a whole bunch of series of things you're paying for, basically, when you pay for that $25 a month or whatever it is. It's just, you know, it's twice the budget that this particular podcast has to operate with. But we took out a loan. We acquired some funding. And we're able to come up with $25 a month. We can't make the payments on it yet, so we may be losing everything here shortly. The point is, it's not a big deal. I think I paid $25 a month just to be a premium member on YouTube. So I don't have to listen to the advertising. And you know there's a lot of hanky-panky going on with that stuff. Creators probably are not being given. You know, that once you start dipping your toe into the financial stream of things, to the money flow, much like politicians, they begin to be able to control those funds, which puts them into a position of power. They can do all kinds of things with that, and they can make or break individuals. So in other words, in fact, I don't know if you know this, Cenk Uygur, the Young Turks, they get extreme funding from YouTube to do what they're doing. Now, at the same time, a show that is much more popular, and I wouldn't matter what you think of him, Steven Crowder, does not get a dime from YouTube as far as like just to be there, just to pay the paid content kind of thing. They get paid for clicks and all that kind of stuff, but they've defunded Steven Crowder now. So they don't make a dime on them. They have a thing called Mug Club. They sell mugs. They have like monthly membership and you get premium content, all kinds of stuff. They still do that, but they're unable to, get monetized on anything. So I guess Spotify, now see, I don't know how this works. Apparently you have to be, you know, on an A-list somewhere with somebody to get onto a platform. Spotify, I'm on Spotify, but this podcast is on Spotify. However, Spotify doesn't deal with me directly. I have to go through a podcast host, which is the way 99% of the podcasts out there operate. You go through a podcast host, whether it be Podbean or Castos or whatever it is, and you have a hosting site, and then they push that through to Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other places. If you want them to, you submit that then to those places. Going directly to Spotify, I think you have to have, I'm not sure what you do. I don't even know the process because this just doesn't come up as an option for me. You could probably find out. And they're paying, I think the deal they have with Joe Rogan is $100 million. I think that's a year, I probably believe. Now you have to realize his show, more people listen to his show than the top evening shows on CNN combined do not have the listening audience that Joe Rogan has. And there's a reason for that. You know, he's a free thinker. He's able to have discussions with people about things that he just gets down to the grit of life on stuff. Everything, it's not just about politics. All kinds of stuff that he's willing to discuss just about anything. And usually just brings people on, experts in their field, to discuss things. He doesn't, you know, try to draw conclusions from that. He just says it like it is and asks good questions. Tough questions sometimes. And unfortunately, in that process, some people are offended. Now, Joe did something the other day that I totally disagree with. He apologized for something that should not have been apologized for, in my opinion. Now, he can do whatever he wants. He can apologize all he wants. But that is the thing that you do not do unless you have, you know, you don't just give a general blanket apology to people. I'm perfectly happy to apologize for anything I've done to a group of people or to an individual, especially. If an individual tells me, hey, you know, what you did upset me, well, then I need to apologize to you. Now, I've seen this in the church a lot. And it what bothers me, and what I'm about to bring up here, it's this principle of forgiveness and offense. It's very clear. There's a little story that the Messiah was teaching about. If you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother had offended you, you need to go make things right with that brother. Now, here's the thing about offense, and this has happened to me, I don't know how many times, or I've been involved in incidences where this has happened, been a part of a group where it's happened, where one person offends another, and that individual doesn't say that they're offended. They tell everybody else around them that they didn't like what they said. They don't like what that person said. And they disassociate with the group or they disassociate with that person. That person has no idea. Unless the rumors get back to that person. And what are they supposed to do with that? Well, they need to go to that person and apologize. No, they don't. No. The person who was offended needs to tell the person who offended them. I was offended by what you said. I was hurt, I was crushed, whatever, it was by what you said. And you know, sometimes what you say is not right or wrong. Some people just have emotional baggage. This is the reality of life here, folks. Sometimes people just have baggage. That they're offended by, you could say the sky is blue, and it might cause someone to come to tears. That's not your fault. If that person comes to you and says, well, what you said made me cry. I was really hurt by what you said about the sky. Well, that's too bad. It sounds like you need some kind of counseling or something to get over this. I feel sorry for you. I'm not going to apologize for saying the sky is blue. Am I making any sense there, folks? I'm not saying we need to be harsh or crash. Crass. I guess it's because it's crass. But we don't need to just apologize for the fact that someone else is offended. I'm offended by offended people. They don't see them apologizing to me. And the point is here, when you do that, and it's not like we're playing a game of who can be the most powerful here. But it does put you in a position of giving the person the upper hand, or giving the group in this case, in most cases that I'm discussing, I'm thinking about. The leftists love to take their phony morality, stick it in your face, get you to apologize for it, and now they have the upper hand. Now they have they're walking the high road. They have been validated in their phony sense of morality. Wasn't anything wrong with what you did, but now that you've somehow admitted wrongdoing, it validates their phony sense of uppityness, or their phony sense of legality, or you know, their rules. And that's what happened here with Joe. It was disappointing to me. I don't agree with everything Joe says. I appreciate the fact that he's a free thinker. I think he has the right to say and use the word that whatever word he wants to use, as long as it's not maliciously intended to hurt someone else in a way of slander. It's unfortunately, freedom of speech is just that. It's freedom of speech. And sadly enough, if people choose to use words to do, you know, whatever happened to the generation who said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? We used to be able to rise above that. It's come to the point now where if you just say the wrong thing to the wrong person, they want to be called by a specific name, and you accidentally call them something else, or you don't agree that you should have to call them whatever that they want to be called, you're the bad guy now. By the way, my pronouns are Lord and Master. Or you can just call me the handsome one. Any one of those three, I will answer to. Those are my pronouns, and if you don't use them, you're a horrible person. You should be anti-socialized, decommissioned from social media. That's ridiculous. No, it's not. It's not ridiculous. It's not any more ridiculous than anything else. It's other ridiculous stuff. Well, I mean, yeah, it is ridiculous, but it's not ridiculous, any more ridiculous, I should say. But those people, they identify as, well, maybe I identify as that. So there you go. Now you can call yourself a queen. I guess that's a big thing right now. There's a particular group of people who think that they are the queen. They need to They call themselves Queen Whatever, and they're going to be the queen. I understand there was a lady the other day on an airplane. This wasn't the other day. It was a couple months ago. She got into a little scuffle on an airplane. And apparently she was claiming to everyone that she was a queen and she would not be treated that way because she's a queen. Well, I would have gotten right back in her face and said, well, you can be whatever you want. You're not my queen. You can think whatever you want. And you're not the queen of this airplane. So, there's that. I guess what's a little frustrating with this whole Rumble thing, for me, as a Rumble customer, as a patron of Rumble, is that their platform is absolutely pathetic in terms of me being able to get online and do live shows. The whole system is clumsy. It's not good at all. It doesn't work well. I sometimes I'll spend an hour trying to get the feed to work. Well, I don't even have an hour long show, typically, when I do a live video show. I could have the whole show done in the time it takes me just to get online. The audience there, now this is, now I understand the whole thing with having Joe Rogan on Rumble would help everybody because the traffic to Rumble would increase exponentially overnight. They would increase their traffic by like 10,000 times, which would help everybody. That lifts everybody up because now there's more possibility that someone will listen to my podcast on there, which will increase my listenership as well. What's aggravating to me is that I pay to be on there, and they're willing to pay $100 million to get Joe Rogan to come to Rumble, which is what Spotify pays Joe Rogan. And Rumble basically has said, we're not going to censor any of your content. Now, if I was Joe Rogan, his fans aren't just listening to him because he's on Spotify. They're listening to him because he's Joe Rogan. If he goes to Rumble, they're still going to follow him to Rumble. And believe it or not, he can still post his content on Spotify. It's an interesting set of chess games here that they're trying to play. Now, if I had the option of going to getting paid $100 million by one company now granted, not everybody has Rumble. There's the problem with that platform is that not everybody can reach Rumble like they can Spotify. Spotify is in a whole lot more venues. It's a little more accessible than Rumble is. I would hope that Rumble would take that money. And this is the problem. This is the problem with Rumble right now. If Rumble had a platform that Joe Rogan would be interested in, they wouldn't have to pay him $100 million to be there. My first thought when I heard this was, why don't you take that $100 million, or at least $10 million of it, and invest in a better platform? If you got that kind of money sloshing around, use it to make your platform better. What does it take to hire a few tech guys to build a better website? Is it really costing? Is it going to cost you $1 million even? That's the frustrating part for me. Is if that platform was up and running and spinning like a top, if it was easy to use, and if it made sense. You have to upload a video before you can upload your live stream. You have to upload this little, less than 1 minute little video that plays before your show. And there's really no real explanation as to why they have to do all this stuff. And then there's no real explanation as to, you can't monitor yourself live very easily unless you have another computer to watch it on or another web browser. It's weird. It's a very clumsy set up. Now, I know some people have used it every day. They got a kind of a workflow down. They can do it. They can get it going, and they got everything set up. And of course, if you have more traffic, they're going to kowtow to you more, and you can pay for higher usage. But now you're paying more to get this, you know, a better service, which I think you should get good service for even paying, you know, $10 or $20 or $25 or whatever you're going to pay. If you're paying for the service, you should get it. It shouldn't be clunky and messed up. Well, that's all I'm going to talk about. Joe Rogan is Joe Rogan, and he's like I said, I don't agree with everything he says, but I think he has the right to say it. Period. And I'll stand up for his right to say it. Now, the other day on Joe and Mika, I think I was starting to talk about this yesterday, and there's so many things going through my head sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes I have a hard time staying on subject. You probably haven't noticed that. But Joe and Mika were talking about this the other day when Whoopi got a 2-week vacation. They were talking, well, Mika was saying, well, if this cancel culture is getting out of hand. If they cancel Whoopi Goldberg, it's just gone too far. It's gone out of hand. This is the monster that you have created. You got your heads popped off when Donald Trump was elected. And all of a sudden, the left rose up with this moral snootitude. And that's when the whole Me Too thing started happening. Donald Trump was a racist. Donald Trump was a misogynist. He's a pig. He's a what were all the things that the actors, Hollywood, was saying about Donald Trump? As if they're some kind of moral elites. People like Alec Baldwin. It was the gal that had held the bloody head of Trump up as a joke. Yeah. Because she's so morally correct, she can do that kind of thing because it was the moral thing to do. If someone would have done that with a Barack Obama head, it was a joke. They'd be in prison right now. It's a hate crime. That's the kind of stuff that it's just, you know, like I said, there's the double standard doesn't apply to them. There's a one-way standard with them. It's not a double standard. They won't even acknowledge that there is a standard, that they are the standard. Much like Anthony Fauci is the science. Well, they're arguing with me. I'm the science. They're arguing, you know, they're coming against science. There's some really good points made lately about some of this stuff. Dr. Robert Malone, for example. This is a really good example. And Joe Rogan interviewed him, by the way, for hours. Had a lot of good things to say. He's a very, very intelligent individual. In fact, I'm not sure where this came from, but I mentioned to someone once that Dr. Robert Malone invented mRNA technology. It's hard to say. mRNA technology. I was confronted by that and said, no, he didn't. It was some other lady that did that. We're not talking about the vaccine. We're talking about mRNA technology, from which the vaccines now are being derived from. Now, this has been a springboard for mRNA technology, by the way, in the use of antivirus medications. There's some weird thing going on in Africa, I guess, among AIDS patients, where if they get COVID, apparently there's all kinds of mutations that happen within these patients. Some lady who had COVID, like it was like a continuous chronic COVID case. I don't understand what they're, it's the weirdest thing in the world. And she also had AIDS prior to getting COVID and had all kinds of mutations from this thing. Now, apparently, Moderna and or Pfizer, I don't know which one it is, has come out with an announcement that they're going to have a a new vaccine, an mRNA technology vaccine for AIDS now, for this sub-virus thing. I guess there are several variants of the HIV. There are several sub-variants of HIV, which causes AIDS, that have been throughout time. And I don't know, I guess some are worse than others. I don't know if you know Magic Johnson, who's a basketball player. Kind of in the same era of Michael Jordan, those guys. Which was kind of right at the tail end of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and some of the other, what was the other guy's name? Can't think of his name. Kind of at the tail end of their careers. I'm not a big basketball fan. You probably can't tell. But some of those guys. Well, then Magic Johnson was in kind of that era, and he, Shaq and all those guys. Shaq actually made some interesting comments lately as well. He's kind of snapped back at some of the mandate issues. The interesting thing is that Magic Johnson basically has, I guess, you know, people are living with AIDS now to the point where they are basically almost undetectable, or that they are undetectable with some of the medications that are out there. Which I think is, in some ways, it's kind of concerning in some ways, because now people are walking around with AIDS that you can't tell if they have AIDS. Which, of course, I would assume that they can spread AIDS still, even though they're not. Because you have to realize, I am not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial advisor, I am not a professor. I am not a life coach. I'm not a high school soccer coach. I am not many things. Many things I am not. What I am is a guy with a microphone. That's what I am. I'm a guy with a microphone with a whole bunch of opinions and a cup full of sweet tea with some splash in it. I just hit the microphone with my tea there just to make sure that you knew this is real and it's live. Interesting thing about all this is that there's so much going on out there with the whole, you know, you can say this and you can't say that kind of stuff going on. And it has gotten out of hand. And the interesting thing to me is that we're starting to notice, I think some people are starting to notice, that the fascism is on the left here. What gets really, I guess, gets under my skin in a lot of ways is that this administration it kind of epitomizes this idea that we're just going to say it and make it so. I recently heard the numbers come out on the jobs reports and the unemployment rate and all that stuff, and it comes out of, it is so phony. It is so fake and phony, and it absolutely has. It's so wrong. It's just so, the only term I know to use here is gaslighting. And I want to talk about that term a little bit, because there's been a lot of there's no other way to describe this than what the media is doing with this whole term of gaslighting. And it's, I'm just looking up here where this term came from. I'll probably get Wikipedia, which I don't, if you know anything about it, here's Wikipedia. Let's look at this is Wikipedia. And I don't trust Wikipedia anymore that I can. Gaslighting is a colloquialism loosely defined as making someone question their own reality. The term may also be used to describe a person, a gaslighter, who presents a false narrative to another group or person, which leads them to doubt their perceptions and become misled, generally for gaslighters' own benefit. Disoriented or distressed, Generally, this dynamic is possible only when the audience is vulnerable, such as in unequal power relationships, or when the audience is fearful of the losses associated with challenging the false narrative. Peer pressure. I just threw that in there. Gaslighting is not necessarily malicious or intentional, although in some cases, it is. And I would purport that, yes, in this case, it is. Now, the reason it gets this, although it explains it here. Actually, that's a pretty good job of it, actually. The term is derived from the 1944 film Gaslight, in which a husband uses trickery to convince his wife that she is mentally unwell so he can steal from her. Now, what happens is, during this movie, he continues to lower the lighting. They have these gas lights back then. They were little lights that they had, the little lamps that they had in their home that were from that made they used gas. They were lanterns. And he would continue to lower the light. It kept getting darker and darker, and it was that's why the movie was called Gaslight. And she would say, "It's getting dark in here." And he would say, "No, it's the same as it was yesterday." You know, he would continue to say things that he knew were untrue, and made her sound like the crazy one. She began to doubt her own sanity, or maybe they're right. Because that's what gaslighting is. And you've probably heard the term, "Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining." Politicians are famous for this when they're in. This is what the spin room is all about. And this is what you hear every day. When Circleback Psaki gets up there and starts talking about whatever it is she's talking about. And she does an excellent job of it, by the way. She's a very good spinner. Except for all the uhs and ums that she says. This is a tell, by the way. The occasional or that a person says is kind of a natural part of a conversation. However, there are several people in this administration, one of them being from the State Department, who has a very similar personality, strangely enough, personality type. He's the guy who came out the other day and was talking about the Russians are planning a false flag event to entice people to get into the war with Ukraine. And the reporter said, "Where's the proof?" "Well, I'm telling you, that's where the proof is. I just told you it's so because I said so." That's what the guy came out. This guy was up there telling us that it was only so because he says so. "Well, I'm telling you, this is the proof is right here. It's coming out of my mouth." And the reporter wouldn't have it. He's like, "Well, where's the evidence?" "Well, this is the evidence. That's the only argument he had." And during this conversation, this person who was from the State Department was saying and continuously. Now, what that does, it's a fill word. And there's a whole lot of psychology behind it. And of course, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a sociologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. You've heard all this stuff. I'm not going to say it again. I'm a guy with a microphone. I'm just talking off the top of my head here. And I've got a hat on, so it's really hard because it
sounds like this.
But there's not a lot of hair on my head. That's why I wear a hat. So that helps to, well, oh, I'm going to get into that. It's bunny trail. So these guys, when they're talking, when you hear Circleback Psaki say this stuff, when she's talking and she starts to, and she'll throw us in the weirdest places in a sentence. I can't describe it. I'm going to have to come up with maybe that's what I'm going to work on this week. I will work on a Circleback Psaki analysis. An analysis of the press secretary, and we're going to see exactly what's going on with all that. Now, that last sentence I just said was kind of a good example of someone who's searching for a word. Now, when you start to throw the uhs and ums in there, and it's this continuous habit. When a person has a statement to make, a definitive statement to make, they don't throw a lot of uhs and ums in there. Just the occasional and um. If you ever, you can go to a basic. What is the name of the little organization that does the speeches thing? They do, like, you do speeches. It's at the Carnegie. Oh, what is it? It's not Carnegie. What is it? I can't remember what it is. It's something about learning about public speaking. I'll think of it. It'll come to me. Toastmasters. I just thought of it. Toastmasters. There's other organizations out there that'll teach you. But Toastmasters is very popular. Been around for a long time. In fact, I don't even think that they advertise at all anymore because they're so well known, except for, for me trying to remember their name. See, I just said right there, because I'm trying to create a thought. I'm trying to put something together. So the is kind of a natural thing to come in there. When when you're putting together in the middle of a sentence that you're making a statement in, and you put several uhs in there, there's something wrong with that. This person would not be able to pass a general Toastmasters first day speech without that being the main criticism. Now, there's a reason that that's not an acceptable thing to have in your speaking ability when you speak to public, when you're public speaking. I'm not a professional public speaker, by the way. Besides a guy with a microphone, the reason I have a microphone and the reason I have a rather expensive microphone is because that is the way I actually do. I do have a profession, speaking, believe it or not. But it's usually the Chevy Colorado. 2,800 pounds of raw horsepower. That's, I can do that kind of stuff. People pay me for doing that kind of stuff. Only on Spectrum and only on demand. So that's, doing that kind of stuff. I can get away with that. They'll pay me money for that. I don't understand it. It just comes out of my mouth and they'd pay me for that. They don't like it, I just say it again. I say it somehow differently. I want to say it faster. You want to say it slower. Higher pitched. Only on Spectrum and only on demand. So I can do that too. So it's just different things like that. It's just basic public speaking skills. But these people, they're gaslighting us, folks. That I don't know of any other better way to say it at this point. I really don't. But that's where we're at in our society right now. The administration and everything. I was listening again. They had another. I wanted to listen to the whole report. Robert Gouveia. He's got a channel, I think, called Watching the Watchers, but he also has one just called Robert Gouveia. He's a lawyer. He's a defense attorney in Arizona. Has a really good show. He's usually has a couple of videos in the evening. He does a live thing, and he lights up all kinds. He's like all over the place. He's on a whole bunch of different platforms. He's on YouTube, a bunch of other places. And of course, YouTube won't go after him because he's a lawyer, and he's a vicious one. He will come after you if you try to stop him from saying. Now, he's very careful about what he says online. However, he's been very adamant about defending the truckers from Canada and their whole thing that's going on there. And he's been reporting on he'll play clips and analyze. His show lasts for about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours typically. And he'll analyze the city town hall meetings and things that are going on in Ottawa right now or Ottawa, if you want to pronounce it properly, and what's happening. Now, Tucker Carlson, I have to say, just a side note here. Tucker Carlson has been saying some things lately. This guy is getting viciously upset with other media organizations and things that are happening out there. He made some statements about Joe and Mika the other day, in fact. Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe. He said something about how he made a comment, and the last statement that he made about him was, "I understand he's a killer in the office." And then he went on, this was a side note that he just kind of threw in there in the middle of his opening statements. If you know anything about that, he's making an allegation without making an allegation there. There was a death in the office of Joe Scarborough when he was in this news organization there. And it was extremely suspicious. It was covered up and never really investigated. But a woman died in his office. And yet he's still on television. There was a whole series of scandals and suspicions about his previous wife and some other things and other things that were going on with him. Now, Joe Scarborough, I believe at one time, was actually a Republican, and he might have even been a congressperson, I believe. Now, again, there are rhinos. There are the Republican establishment people who will run simply based on the idea that they are. In fact, Pete Buttigieg told the entire police department in South Bend, I was there, told the entire police department in South Bend that he's basically a Republican, but he's only running as a Democrat because South Bend is such a strong blue city. So he has to run as a Democrat in order to win. But he pretty much supports everything that the Republicans are for. Because most of the police department there at the time was Republican. So they were convinced. And as years and years went by, they discovered this guy is a radical leftist. And he comes from a family of radical leftists. So anyway, enough side notes. On the side. We'll just put the side notes on the side. Let's go back to the whole Robert Gouveia thing. He was talking about this. He was analyzing the town hall. Now, the day before, there was a town hall meeting, and they were having this discussion. And, of course, the police chief was there, and some other things were there. People were there trying to deal with how are we going to deal with these truckers. Now, personally, in my opinion, I think they are poking the bear here. You're dealing with truckers. These are independent people. They are strong on independence. Even some of the left-leaning ones understand independence. Some of them have had their entire livelihoods decimated. They have no other choice now. They're fighting for their lives. They're not just there to make a stand. There's a core group of them, at least there, who are there fighting for their lives and their livelihood to feed their families and their kids. Police are now coming in. People were donating fuel for the trucks. They were donating all kinds of food and supplies and everything else that these people needed, propane, all kinds of things to keep people warm. They had a tent set up where people were being fed for free, by the way. Go there and get meals for free. The truckers themselves were having cleanup times when they would just walk through communities and just clean up trash. They are being called insurrectionists, racists, Nazis by the town board. There is an unlawful protest. They're going to start. They've now voted to raise the fines for leaving your truck idling. It's more than $100 now. Guess how much it is now? $1,000. The police are coming in and taking away fuel. People will bring jerry cans in with fuel in it. And they're just, police are coming in and starting to confiscate that stuff. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when all those trucks run out of fuel. And people start getting cold. And they can't move the trucks. Now, I'm sure they'll come in and tow them away. Fine them again for being there. But I would see this as becoming, you know, it hasn't been an armed conflict at this point. But this isn't happening just in Ottawa, by the way. Toronto is beginning to well up as well. There are several other towns that are beginning to feel the push. They're demonstrating in many of the capitals, many of the centers of government in the big cities up there. It's getting, who would have thought? Canadians of all people. But yes, again, the truckers are a different, they're cut from a different cloth, folks. I used to drive over the road. I used to deliver, I wasn't a trucker, but I would deliver motorhomes. And I had a CB, and I would listen to these guys all the time. So I spent a lot of time on the road. Truckers feel a certain connection with the country that just you don't get from most people. They see over-the-road haulers, OTRs, they see this country. They're out there delivering the goods that this country needs to survive, to keep going, to be productive. They are at the hub of our freedoms and liberty, doing the service that they provide. And they feel the brunt of it because they're gone from their families. They're separated from their families many times for days, weeks, whatever. Long periods of time. They are sacrificing a lot. Now, they're getting paid well. Don't get me wrong. That's part of it. But at some point, the pay is just compensation for being away. You're missing out on your baby's first steps, or you're missing out on something that happens having to deal with over the phone when your kids do something stupid and you have to deal with that, the disciplinary actions. When something breaks in the home and you're not there to fix it. It's hard on the whole family. And these guys are standing up because they understand liberty. They understand the independence. Because they live it every day. And they know the cost of that. They're not afraid of it. There's several of them that have said, the only way I'm leaving is in a squad car. In the back of a squad car. And there, plenty of them are right there with them. I mean, there are even people who are not truckers now who are standing with them, who are there every day helping them. They're in the fight with them. All because, and this is what gets me, about the whole thing. It's so stupid. Government has to win. And one of the things that they said in this one, the last meeting that the town hall had, which was last, I think it was last night, yesterday, maybe it was yesterday. The report was last night. One of the things that one of the heads of the town hall said was, we have lost control of the city. We need to take back control of the city. We need to... And they're talking like it's a war thing going on, like they've been invaded by a foreign country. This is the way they're talking, and they need backup. They need they're getting intelligence from this and people on the ground. And again, I said this yesterday on the show. I'm concerned that they may be placing people within them, and just this has happened. Now you know at the night of the election. This is what. January 6th, that night before, there were bombs found in near the Republican headquarters and near the Democrat headquarters. Supposedly, all of a sudden, that just went away. It's my suspicion that this was probably planted there by agents hired by certain agencies, that if one thing happened one way or the other, they were going to use some kind of an explosion to set off public opinion. Now, this is what will probably end up happening. Somehow they're going to discredit the truckers. Somehow they're going to do something. The only person so far that's been hurt in any of the protests up there have been truckers themselves, by the way. This is the usual case, just like it was on January 6th. No police officers died that day from anything that any protesters did. One protester did die directly from a gunshot. There was no mention of stop or I'll shoot, nothing like that. Absolutely overkill. Absolute deadly force against someone who had no deadly force coming at them with any deadly force. Completely incompetent. Oh, we investigated ourselves and we decided we're okay. This doesn't fly well with a lot of people who understand. If I would have done that in my home, someone was busting into my home, busting through a window, and I shot them through the window and they fell down outside dead. Guess who gets charged with that? I'd have a really tough time fighting that off. I'd be going to trial. No doubt. Whether or not I win or not would even be questionable. This show has kind of flown by. Wow. We're almost up against an hour here now. And that's a lot. It's a lot of time. For me, anyway. And I could talk more, but I won't, because it's almost lunchtime and my belly, you know. I'm pretty much I just follow my belly around wherever it leads me. Not really, but that's what I'm going to go with. So I'm going to eat some lunch, possibly. Go do some things at my other office. Probably walk my dogs. Supposed to be warming up here today. Supposed to get above freezing finally for the first time for I don't know how long. Like well above freezing, not just, you know, sunshine. If you're in the sun right here in this one spot where there's no wind, it's actually 32 degrees. 32 and a half degrees. Inside my coat. So we keep on going to see what happens here in the next, next couple months are going to be very interesting. Now the stupid thing about this whole Ottawa thing is that the masks and the mandates now for vaccinations are antiquated at this point. They're a moot thing. Now, you know, you're not hearing much about the deaths and stuff anymore. I mean, there are places that are having spikes and issues and being overwhelmed. However, all of a sudden, we're not talking about it much anymore. Now Nancy Pelosi just had a moment of silence. They're all holding candles. She has to have something like this every few months just to make it sound like because she cares about the children. They were all holding those little candles. It's dark, holding these candles for the 900,000 lives who've been lost to COVID. Again, I question the numbers. And the numbers change all the time because, we've revamped the numbers now. It's not as many as we thought. Or it's more than we thought, or it's not as many as we thought. Whatever it is, they're constantly changing the numbers. part of the problem here is that people are dying with COVID, and they're saying they're dying of COVID. Or there are multiple factors, and COVID just happens to be the one that overwhelms their body system. And they would have lasted 2 weeks. Instead, they only lasted 2 days because they had COVID. Now, granted, that's COVID's what, you know, COVID was a contributing factor. But they were taking their last dying breaths. They could have breathed five more times, and then someone shot them, killed them, so they were murdered. That is a murder. It's considered murder. But they were, you know. Now, when it comes to a disease, which disease really killed them? Did the disease that they already had make their immune system weaker so that they couldn't fight off COVID? So then you blame it on COVID, but it's actually the disease that destroyed their immune system that kept them from fighting off COVID. So you could say that the original disease, the underlying disease, is what killed them because it enabled them. Kind of like a soccer player making a goal. Did the soccer player actually make the goal, or was it the person who gave him the assist? They wouldn't have been able to do the assist on their own. They wouldn't have been able to get down in the position they were in without the ball being... It's a team thing. And this is what happens with comorbidities. I'm not trying to be trite about this. I'm trying to say that there's comorbidities involved. And yes, things were accelerated or aggravated, but did the person die of COVID, or did they die with other complications that contributed to the issue? And that's what I'm getting at here, is the way the numbers are counted, they just want to make it sound like it was COVID. There are some people who wanted to go there. This is like the whole thing with the masks now. I guess there's been several governors have dropped mask mandates in schools. Now parents are all upset. There are some school districts that have decided that they're still going to have the mask mandate. And there are parents walking into the schools telling them that we're not going to have our kids wearing masks. Get the masks off our kids. And here's the thing. There's people complaining. I'm concerned about these people walking around without masks. Telling us, you know, yelling at us, telling us that we shouldn't, their kids aren't going to wear masks. Okay, if you're vaccinated and you're wearing a mask, are you concerned about your health and safety? If you're vaccinated and you're wearing a mask, aren't you perfectly protected? Well, I'm just trying to protect you. They don't want to protect. They're spreading their germs. The mask just protects us from spreading germs to others. Really, it's doing a great job. It's doing a great job. We're not being told that I've learned more about this whole N95 thing and some other things. A typical cloth mask. In fact, the little surgical mask, the official little surgical mask, not the N95s, but the little colored ones, the green ones. It's typically green or blue. Those are actually, I guess, the studies that have been done on those show that about 20% of the air that you breathe goes out around the outside of the mask. 20%. Now, that's not a big deal, in my opinion, because the other 80% that does go through the mask, by the way, contains the virus. And the mask is not thin enough to stop the virus. It's too thin. It's in water vapor. Water vapor goes through the mask. If it didn't, your mask would be soaked in about 5 minutes. But it's getting through there. Now, N95, basically it's called an N95 because only 5%, if it's fitted right, only 5% of the air you breathe gets out from around the edge of the mask. Yeah. How much of a percent does it take? And again, water vapor goes through that mask. It provides the best The inside of an N95 will get pretty soaked up. In fact, they say after about 30 minutes, it's soaked to the point where saturation has happened, and now you're breathing out vapor anyway. You're breathing that vapor that's collected in there is not being pushed out through the mask. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a quality control manager in a mask factory. What do I know? So I keep going with this stuff, according to me, because it is the news, according to me, because I have an opinion. That's all I'm going to share. But my hour is nearly up. Well, actually, it is an hour. It's been an hour and 35 seconds now. So that's when my bumper music starts to kick in. There might be another show this afternoon. I've discovered that I'm not going to be traveling this week, at least that I'm aware of at this point. But there's some interesting stuff happening to my schedule. I got to find out from the folks over there at the Pottery Barn. It's not the Pottery Barn, but the people who take care of my schedule here. I got to figure out what's going on with this. There's some days, I got some weird stuff on my schedule. So find out about that. But I'll be around all week. So I possibly might be doing more shows this week. I possibly might do a live video show from home tonight. So we'll just do that. God bless everybody. Have a great evening.